Have you ever thought of God's plan for your life? This year, we start in the fall on talking about the journey that we're all on, the journey of life. And as a church, we walk together because we were not called to do it alone. Our key verse for the series, The Journey, is Proverbs 16:9. It says, "The heart of the man plants his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." Today, we're going to start on a two-week journey in the area of service. And service in our culture points to the fact that we are all made in the image of God. People in Christ and people who do not have a relationship with Him are drawn to service because of this identifying characteristic we all have. So what separates us as believers when we serve? What makes us distinct from those who do not know Christ? I want to look today at the intro chapter about King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 29. A highlight of the reign of Hezekiah is the reopening and purification of the temple, and it followed the defiling of the temple by his own father, Ahaz. The consecration of the Jerusalem temple prepares the way for an emphatic return to corporate worship in Israel. The first three verses of the chapter give us the identity of Hezekiah and how he lived and what impact he made. In verse 1 of chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, it tells us that Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. Hezekiah was connected. He had roots within the culture. Of course, he was king, so he had royal blood in him. He reigned for 29 years, as we see, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. It tells us that in verse 2, according to all that David his father had done. And he didn't wait to do this. He didn't wait around to see what God had for the kingdom. He saw the issues, and he started immediately. It tells us that in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. You know, as I look at this, as I engage this, you know, as we watch, and we're going to look at Hezekiah's three steps to reformation, you know, it's kind of interesting that many of us have these goals in our life, and many of us have these things that we see that need to be done, and we all have good intentions. But sometimes we sit on those intentions, and the things that God has called us to, we don't do. And we miss out on the service He's called us to. We miss out on the blessings because, unlike Hezekiah, who stepped into the moment, we wait and we wait and we wait until the opportunity fades away. Hezekiah led the nation through three steps to reformation. He had the best of intentions of this. In fact, we see in step one that he gathered the leaders and he gave them a call to serve. We see this in the first 11 verses. We see that he was a great facilitator in verses 4 and 5. He says, it says in the text, "He brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east and said to them, 'Hear me, Levites, now consecrate yourselves. Dedicate your life to a higher purpose.'" That's what he's calling them to, right? He says, "Consecrate yourselves and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place." The term consecrate means to make holy, to dedicate to a higher purpose. It gives us insight into our daily purpose as believers. The act of consecration involves our lives being a living sacrifice to Him as we are totally separated from the defilement of the world. Each day we are to live out our lives as a holy and royal priesthood to the glory of God, for we are now God's people. Peter writes about that in 1 Peter 2. So what does it mean to be a believer? Charles Hodge, one of the greatest 19th century theologians, provides a great answer. It is being so constrained by a sense of the love of our divine Lord to us that we consecrate our lives to Him. Joshua used the word consecrate in Joshua 3:5. He said to the people, "Consecrate, set yourselves apart, make yourselves ready, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." The next part of the chapter, chronicler focuses on Hezekiah's overview of the history of disobedience of the nation. See, Hezekiah knew the history of the kingdom. He had grown up around it, and he had seen his father. And he kind of speaks to the kings like his father. He says, "For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done what was evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They have forsaken Him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs." In verse 7, it says, "They also shut the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel." So what he was saying there is he's saying, hey, they turned their backs. Our forefathers turned their backs. My father turned his back on the Lord. In fact, they just, they went so far as to just doing evil in his sight. They forsake him. They turned away and turned their backs. So today is a day of repentance. He's leading into that, but he has to go through. We have to deal with our sin. We have to deal with the reality of the things in our life that have occurred. We have to deal with the recognition that we have messed up. And when we recognize that and we engage that, it allows us to start making that churn. It allows us to start making that churn to obedience and following the Lord. And it got so bad. In verse 7, we see that they're just pretty much shutting the temple down. Just shutting the temple down. No burnt offerings. All the lamps are out. The doors of the vestibule are closed. There are no burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. In other words, the temple wasn't being used for its purpose because of disobedience. So then Hezekiah goes on, and he speaks to the wrath of God, and he understood the consequences of the nation's history of disobedience. In verse 8, he says, Therefore, because of all this stuff, and the two verses I just walked through, therefore the wrath of the Lord came on Judah and Jerusalem, and he has. You know, we have been unfaithful. We have forsaken him. Our fathers have turned away, but he has made us an object of horror, of astonishment, and of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. You can imagine when Hezekiah was sharing this, people were looking around and seeing the state of the nation. It broke their hearts. Hezekiah speaks in this in verse 9. He says, for behold, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. You know, it's interesting. In these moments, when it gets tough, you know, you sometimes think, well, maybe we should just take everything and get out of here. There's no hope. But you see the heart of Hezekiah in this moment. He understood what they had to do for God's wrath to be turned away. In verse 10, it says, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, in order that his fierce anger may turn away from us. See, then start with a program. It started in Hezekiah's heart as a leader. And he knew that God's anger was appropriate. Remember the old covenant, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you disobey me, I will curse you. But God wanted a relationship with his people, and Hezekiah knew that. And he says this in verse 11, this call to serve, this great motivating verse. He says, my sons, do not be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him and to be his ministers and make offerings to him. So we see Hezekiah stating his intentions. This is a call to serve. We are going to be part of bringing the nation back to God. And then we see step two. He has called them to serve. Now he's with the leaders preparing them to serve. So in these steps of reformation, there's the call and then there's the preparation. We had some missionaries here Sunday that they talked about the fact that God took 10 years to prepare them to go to the mission field, and now they have spent 40 years in missions. It was a beautiful picture of how God prepared them, how he went to seminary, how he got himself prepared, getting ready to go do what God had called him to do. And sometimes we get moving so fast, and there are things, and we're going to see with Hezekiah that happen immediately, but we are called to serve and to get ready and prepare for what God is going to do. Every day should be a preparation process for what God has for us. And what was awesome about these moments with Hezekiah is this process was going to lead to worship of the entire nation. In verses 12 through 14, we see the Levites arose, and there's a litany of names there, and they embraced the calling, and then they come together. They gathered their brothers and consecrated themselves and went in as the king had commanded by the words of the Lord. Notice in verse 15, it says, by the words of the Lord. That tells us that Hezekiah was in tune with God's direction. It was his direction that led Hezekiah to understand that their goal was to cleanse the house of the Lord, to bring the nation back to him in worship. Verse 16 tells us that the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and they brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord and to the court of the house of the Lord. I mean, this is a huge cleaning project. And the Levites took it and carried it out to the brook of Kidron. Let's just get it away from here. In verse 17, it says they began to consecrate on the first day of the first month. And on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. They worked from the inside out. Then for 8 days, they consecrated the house of the Lord. And on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. I mean, they're moving. Note this. The process took 8 days. Sometimes when God is moving, he moves. He moves fast. And he's moving and moving and moving. And the people of God they're just chasing after his heart. So they're done. So they go to Hezekiah and they say, hey, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the table for the showbread and all its utensils. All the utensils that King Ahaz discarded in his reign when he was faithless, we have made ready and consecrated, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. So they were prepared. The preparation was done. It was a quick preparation, 8 days. I mean, they are motivated by the idea of what's going to happen next. So we see the call to serve. We see the preparing to serve. And then we see engaging in worship. And this engaging in worship points to revival. It points to revival. Verses 20 through 24 in chapter 29 talk about the offerings of the officials and priests, sin offerings, burnt offerings. In verses 25 through 30, we see the nation assemble for worship. Verse 31 says, then Hezekiah said, you have now consecrated yourselves to the Lord. Come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings. That comes from Leviticus 7, to the house of the Lord. And the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all who were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. The number of the burnt offerings that the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. In verse 33, it says that they consecrated offerings. Those consecrated offerings were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. Verse 34 tells us something. There had been an HR issue that was going on behind the scenes, and it finally surfaced itself. Listen to this. It says, but the priests were too few and could not flay all the burnt offerings. So until other priests had consecrated themselves, their brothers, the Levites, helped them until the work was finished. For the Levites were more upright in heart than the priests in consecrating themselves. Isn't that interesting? Remember, all priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. The Levites that weren't priests had to come in because they were more prepared to do the work of the ministry than the very men that had been called to do it. This infers that the priests had become used to participating that became used to participating in all the idol sacrifices that had been instituted. They were more familiar with worshiping idols and how to sacrifice to them than they were the work that they had been called into as priests. See, this shows that in service, when your priorities are so messed up for a long time, it takes time for you to lean into service in the way God has called you to. Verse 35 continues to talk about this wonderful day. Besides the great number of burnt offerings, there was the fat of the peace offerings. They get that from Numbers 15. And there were the drink offerings for the burnt offerings. Thus, the service of the house of the Lord was restored. And Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because God had prepared for the people, for the thing came about suddenly. Have you ever been in a season or a time in life where things came about suddenly? When Amy and I were interviewing at churches, it was a tedious process, and it was a very slow process, but it was amazing. One day I got a phone call in Florida from a man in the church who was on the search committee, a good friend of mine. We clicked. I was not the prototypical candidate to be the pastor of First Baptist Church, but they took a risk, and I flew in with my wife, and I spoke that day and had a great time. But, you know, honestly, we really felt like God may call us here, but we were like, you know, we're going to do what God called us to do. I went up and preached my heart out. And that was in November. I was the pastor of First Baptist Church, and I was in place right at the end of January, February. In fact, I flew up for a meeting with the leaders in January, and things just started moving. It was so quick, and God had done something that came about suddenly. But I can see in those 6 months I had without being between churches that God was preparing me for what he had for me next. He was reaffirming my call to serve as a pastor and as I walk into being a pastor of First Baptist Church. When we look at the New Testament, we look at service with the body of Christ. And how does God use our service? Barclay, a famous writer, has a great set of commentaries, and he clarifies the connection between the Hebrew word used for assembly in the Old Testament and its relationship with the word used in the Greek for ekklesia, the gathering. They're so close. It's the people of God coming together, two different languages speaking to the same thing. And Paul says in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, as he writes to Ephesians, remember Ephesians, the first three chapters are all theology. The second three chapters are practical theology, how to live life. In fact, we see the armor of God and relationships defined in the end of Ephesians and all these great things. But in the first three chapters, Paul's just talking about God. And he said, in our relationship with him, and he says, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. In other words, you're never going to be alone again. You're never alone. And the household of God is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In essence, we have heavenly citizenship. In verse 21, he says in chapter 2, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And this is the description of a building under construction. And it conveys the sense of the dynamic growth of the church, the holy temple of God. Paul now uses the metaphor of a temple, thereby indicating the purpose to become for which God has established the church. And in verse 22 is the payoff. Ephesians 2:22. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The Spirit dwells within the church. The Spirit drives the who, what, where, when, why, and how of service. But it starts with a pure heart focused on worship. It starts with the reality that we have a calling to be a holy people, a people set apart for God and his work. As you walk through your week, I want you to think about these three steps to reformation, a reformation in your life where you're reforming yourself. And really focusing on your call, on your preparation to serve, and on worship. Hezekiah was not a perfect man, but he was a good man. Not because of who he was, but because of the Lord he worshipped and the Lord he served. Our challenge is engaging and leaning in to the call we have that God has given us to serve him. And to look around and see what he is doing so that we can step into those things. Next week, we're going to be talking about how this relationship with God and service and keeping it in the right perspective leads us to impacting the people around us as we walk side by side with them during the week.